Peace.
Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
That's right. It is what it is. What's up, y'all? We back again. Welcome to another week, another episode of Collective Minds Radio. Hope y'all joining in and ready to chop it up with us because we got some stuff we want to talk about. What's up, Love Lachey, Brother Kevin, y'all there?
Yeah.
What's up, y'all? Peace. Collective Minds.
What's up, family? How you? Everybody doing good? Anybody going to throw out some announcements or some shout out?
Any announcements, Whip? Just announcing it is Libra season. Shout out to all the Libras real quick.
Yeah.
Salute. Hope y'all enjoying yourselves.
Brother Kevin just celebrated a birthday. He's a Libra. Happy birthday.
Indeed. Peace. Right on.
Happy birthday, bro.
Right on.
You didn't go to the big party? You weren't at the big party, were you? Brother Kevin's big party. He had a pajama party.
Oh, man. No.
Like kid in play.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. I ain't mad at you.
Yeah,
funny.
You know.
I'm
just joking. Yeah. But I would like to make another announcement, though. I wanted all our listeners and everybody to be on the lookout for the Ronald Isaac Scholarship Foundation. And we're actually launching it in St. Louis this month. We partnered up with St. Louis's only HBCU, Harris Stowe State University. So we're having our first fundraiser concert at the Peabody Opera House on October 28th on a Saturday. So be on the lookout for that.
You sound like a winner. Winner, chicken dinner.
Trying to be more of a support or a solution. I know we have a lot of issues going on, not just in St. Louis, but around the world. So hopefully this can lend to some hope, you know, for our community, our youth, offering free education, you know, free four-year full ride scholarships, sending the kids to school, trying to help build the community up. You don't have to worry about paying room and board or anything like that. They give iPads and iPods. And we're also trying, with the schools, we're trying to also incorporate an organization to also help with any tutoring if the kids may, slack in some of their courses and classes, they can get some help. Because our goal is to build legends. So be on the lookout for that. That's a positive thing. Something good starting here in St. Louis, but the goal is to branch out into other states as well.
All right. That's what's up. Well, I ain't got no shout-outs today. I just say shout-out to Nelly. Keep your head up, bro. And I'm sure everybody know what I'm talking about, but I ain't going to go too deep into that. Keep your head up, brother. And also, stop pulling the little girls on stage and singing to them, curling their hair and stuff like that. That's just some advice from me to you. You know, give people this reason to throw salt on your name. So just stop doing it. So, yeah, y'all, we wanted to talk today about the Las Vegas shooting that happened last week. I'm sure y'all know that you had a crazed gunman that went ballistic on a crowd of people at a country music concert, shot and killed, I believe it was 59 people, wounding a little over 500. So that's how mainstream news is reporting it to us, that a lone gunman was shooting down from the Mandalay Bay Hotel, shooting down on a crowd of people at a country music concert. So that's the speculations, that's the talk. I'm hearing a lot of controversy surrounding it. Some people don't believe that it happened exactly like that. Some people think it may have been multiple shooters. Some people believe that this could be another setup to take away guns, you know, to kick off the whole gun control debate. So, we want to kick this around and see what everybody's thinking about as far as the shooting go. And do you think this is, like I say, something to just kick off gun control? Just your overall thoughts in general about the whole shooting. So, who want to kick it off first? Who got something to say?
Love, Lachey. We'll let you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go. And also to any listeners, we will be opening up the call line soon. So just continue to listen, and we will be taking callers. So I'll get right into my position here. And I know basically the question is, how do we feel about?
Yeah, what's your thought?
Huh?
Oh yeah, I was just saying. I thought you wanted me to recite the question to you again, but go ahead.
Yes, please do. That's why I'm getting at.
The topic is what are your overall thoughts about the Las Vegas shooting?
Well, it's very tragic.
It's a broad topic. It's whatever you want to talk about with.
Yeah, it's a very
tragic. Your thoughts in general about the mass shooting. You know, whatever you want to hit on. Whatever.
Well, this is a very tragic situation, obviously. You know, people died. I know I have heard that some people have been saying that they feel like it was a second gunman. That was assisting, that was within the audience, in the crowd shooting. I saw a tape of a participant there, and she said there's no way that one gunman from that building would have been able to, you know, do all those things. And she also mentioned that she heard other, you know, gun sounds from the crowd, not from up high. So that's all. That was interesting. I don't know if we would even. I think that would be one of those things that would never be solved, or it would not be ever presented in that fashion. It'll just always be a conspiracy theory. Because right now the media already have their story out, and there's no way they're going to change it. But it's definitely a horrible thing. I think. You know, as far as situations like that go, it's always unfortunate. And I'm always more interested in knowing, one, to talk to the person who actually did it. Because I want to know what type of person he was, where was his head at, you know, what would drive a person to do that? You know, I that's always curious for me. You know, I'm definitely... you know, feel sorry for the victims and all the ones that was hurt and lost their lives. But I really wanted to talk to that guy, the accuser, because I want to know, like, what was going on? You know, what would drive people to do that? You know, is it just pure evil? You know, just what is it? You know, but that's pretty much all I can say about it at this point. But I just think it's a very tragic situation. I hate that it happened. You never like to see people die, of course, unless it's somebody that is just, but, you know, I just think it was a horrible thing.
All right, Brother Kev, what's your thoughts on
that? Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with what Love Lachey said. Yeah, it was a pretty messed up situation. I think, you know, it's a lot of stuff that I was hearing as far as reports that the mainstream media not reporting. Like, there was a woman, they said, in the crowd, like 45 minutes to an hour before the shots rang out, They say it was a woman and her boyfriend that was walking through the crowd and screaming and telling the people, you're all going to die, and they're everywhere. And, you know, people kind of thought she was crazy or may have been on some drugs, so they kind of dismissed it. But, you know, lo and behold, 45 minutes later, the shots rang out or whatever. So it's a lot going on with that. And then I was hearing that it was also reports of shots and bombs going off actually in other hotels. People was hearing loud noises and shots coming from other hotels on the strip, like New York, and Tropicana, and all these other places. So, you know, it's just a lot going on. Of course, the mainstream media, you know, they have their agenda, which that's actually what I want to focus on, because I just find it interesting how the media treats, you know, white terrorists different than everyone else, especially a white male terrorist. Like, they kind of get coddled by the media. You know, they really, like, the trick and the job of white supremacy is to always humanize white people. No matter what, you have to keep them on a certain pedestal, and you have to keep them as, you know, almost divine you got to keep them divine and humanized as possible under the system of white supremacy. You know what I mean? And as far as black victims, they get treated as if they were perpetrators of crimes. You know what I'm saying? As far as how the media tell the story and looking up mug shots and if they had a criminal record and all this other type stuff. So I just think it's interesting the way the media plays this. And I don't really watch too much mainstream media, but, you know, I do look at a lot of publications online, and, you know, they've yet to even call this man a terrorist. You know what I'm saying? They still trying to figure out the motive and what, you know, what he did or why he did it. You know what I mean? So they're not really calling it what it is. And if you talk about the gun control debate, like, we can get straight to the point. When they talk about gun control, they're talking about gun control for black people, period, point blank. Like, you know, because white people, you know, white men typically, you know, they got they scream the Second Amendment right, and they got the NRA behind them, and they talking about gun rights and these are guns. But, you know, white men can walk around with guns fully loaded and there's no problem. But soon as some black men try to arm, you know, like the Black Panthers, then, you know, everybody, you know, it's a problem. And one last thing, it's a video floating around to that point where they did an experiment, and y'all may have seen it, where there was a white guy walking with an assault rifle, and he gets the police, you know, stop him and come up to him and talk to him like, hey, buddy, what are you doing, you know? You got a permit, you got a license. So they walk up to him all calm and nice. So then you have a black man who's walking with an assault rifle as well. As soon as they pull up to him, they pull out the gun, get on the ground. You know what I mean? And he's walking the same as the white guy. So I think that's something we really have to pay attention to, is the double standard when it comes to just everything, basically. But since we're talking about gun control and people's rights, we got to look at the double standard and how, you know, how people are treated. You know, this man that did this Vegas shooting supposedly was a millionaire. He was able to buy all these guns and get them up in a hotel with, you know, nobody looking, because nobody's tripping. He's a white guy. He's able to do this. You know what I mean? Let this have been a black person, oh, the FBI would have been on him. You know, mugs would have been red flagging him and, you know, just investigate, like, hey, what are you doing? You can't have all these guns. Like, we need to see what's really going on. So I think the fact that he was a white male really allowed him, you know, to pull this atrocity off. And it's a shame, because he could have, you know, potentially targeted a whole bunch of concerts, but he chose to target this country concert where he knew the majority of the people there would be white. You dig what I'm saying? So I find that kind of interesting in and of itself. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, the white supremacists are scrambling. This was definitely an L on their side, because they like to talk about black on black crime and all this other type of stuff. But, you know, we see when when mass shootings happen and these things, tragic events happen, we see how they, you know, how they react and kind of gloss and kind of really look away. You know what I mean? But, you know, it is what it is. But my, like I say, my focus was on the media and how they've been portraying this dude as, you know, just a regular old gambler. You know, he did this, went fishing and did all that without actually demonizing him as they would have did, you know, somebody else. So I'm going to leave it right there for now and, you know, let you go in, Mufasa.
Wow. Brother K, you said a whole lot there, my brother. You just said a mouthful.
Indeed.
So let me, I'm gonna attack this from another angle. I'm going to go with the conspiracy, the conspiracy theory. For me, myself, I don't believe it was a long shooter. I believe this was a tactical hit. There ain't no way that this 64-year-old man, this is my opinion, got all these automatic weapons up to this room, set up cameras, took a hammer, and busted out the glass to this hotel that I'm sure is weatherproof, tornado proof glass. I'm gonna see him busting that out with no hammer. But I really think it was more than one shooter. Like you said earlier, too, you brought up the fact that people were saying that a female was saying stuff out in the crowd about people was going to die that day. Now, is that some crazy drunk woman, or it could be something to that.
Right.
But, like I say, I don't trust the government and how far they will go to get some stuff off, either A, to kick off the whole gun control and banning of automatic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you don't know if this could be a way to increase gun sales, because every time you have one of these mass shootings and people start thinking that the government is going to try to take your automatic weapons, what's the first thing to start selling? Automatic weapons, high cap magazines. Now the bump stock that they say this guy had on his rifles to shoot with.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, as soon as that out there, that's the first thing that went selling like crazy was bump stock. You know, and as these sales kick off, I mean, it's tax money getting generated by this. This also. So I have mixed feelings on if it was done to take away weapons, or is it possibly done in order to increase gun sales and, you know, get the people all scared and nervous to go buy up this stuff because they're thinking it's going to be a ban, which generates, you know, revenue. So I look at it from that standpoint. You know, I don't believe it was just one shooter who pulled this off by itself. There's no way. He had to have some help to pull this stuff off. You know, it don't make no sense. They tell us anything and think we're just supposed to go with it and believe it. You know what I'm saying? And I got some other stuff I'm going to comment on, but I'll wait till later because I want to see if we could get to at least one caller. I don't want to hog up too much time before we at least get a caller or two to chime in. So, love to say, you got somebody on the line we want to get a comment?
Okay, we can go ahead and do a comment. Let's do caller from area code 336-965. Caller, are you there? Caller,
hey, Carla.
Okay. Well, okay.
Okay. I heard them. It sounded like they was chanting.
You know,
we got a caller doing voodoo, y'all. What's up?
We'll try back. Let me ask you this, Mufasa. So you think that that the incident was just probably something that was set up by the by the government to either increase the gun sales or try to take away some of the gun laws that we currently have?
Well, no, I'm basically saying that I don't believe it happened the way they're saying it happened. I'm not directly saying it could be a government ploy. It could be. It could also been some type of a setup on his part. I mean, for all we know, this dude could have been involved in some type of arms trading or whatnot. I mean, he clearly was sitting on cash, you know what I mean? So we don't know what this man may have been involved in. If you know, it went down like they say it did. But I'm just saying, I don't believe one guy pulled this off alone.
Right, right.
You dig what I'm saying?
They, especially with no military training and, you know, really no motive as it stands today. Like, we don't even know what the motive was. Like, what would make him, you know, do this, especially, like I say, with no military training?
Yeah, 64 years old. You got paper.
Yeah, 64, right.
Tell me, what would make, why do y'all think somebody of his age, his type of resources, why would y'all, what would y'all think his reasoning would be to do something like this?
Well, by that age, yeah. I think he was just angry. Of course.
Angry about
I think he was angry with, the conditions and how America is right now, the conditions we're living in and the conditions of America.
So let me put you in his shoes. So you telling me you 64, you got money to do whatever you want to do, you retired, and all of a sudden, because you angry at America, you're going to throw your life away. And like I said, you got the money you want. You know what I'm saying? You're able to live the type of life you want to live. So you get angry and decide to throw it all away. I mean, basically, you damn near living the American dream.
Really?
Well, money isn't everything. And there are a lot of there have been a lot of rich people that have killed themselves because the mind is. It works where it's very, you know, it's a very thin line between sanity and insanity. So the reason why I say that, I'm not saying, of course, that I'm right because I never talked to the man. So my assumption that if that theory, you know, for that theory to be correct, I think it would have been just a matter of him just snapping. You know, just not knowing how to handle it. I'm sure with some mental illnesses, too, I'm sure he suffered from something, you know, and I think it just probably manifested in that way out of his anger.
Right. You know? But then just snapping, though, you got to look at that because just snapping would be like he just happened to have a gun on him, he snapped and killed a bunch of people. But this was actually planned out for weeks.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, but snapping to me cannot just be an instant right away thing. People can snap, but you may not know it, or they may have shown signs and it progressed. You can snap to a level where, okay, now you are insane, but it starts to gradually still get worse and worse and worse over time if it's not addressed. But you have already crossed over that line.
Well, let me ask you, okay. With that being said, you don't think by this gradually happening to him, I mean, he would have said something to his brother, his girlfriend, you know, somebody would have, one of his close friends would have saw some signs of him being angry and snapping and depressing. You think that could have went unchecked all this time? You heard him say his brother on TV. His brother's like, you know, I just spoke with him not too long ago. This came out of nowhere. They not understanding what went on with him. So you don't think that some type of science, he should have triggered or said something to a family member?
Well, the thing is, it could have been. It could have been that they just didn't detect it. You know, we don't know the conditions of their state of mind either. I didn't see his brother's interview, by the way, you know. And I think it's possible. And then who's to say I can't also judge the length of time and, you know, from him, you know, going there to the next anyway. You know, his situation could have had a change or crossed over after he got to Vegas and got into the hotel. He could have been fine maybe when he was there, because remember, he was in the room for 2 days. It could have happened right before he decided to go to the hotel, you know, unless he talked to everybody on his commute there, you know, that can vouch for him and say, hey, yeah, well, he seemed fine. But even though he may have seemed fine, doesn't necessarily mean that he was absolutely fine either, though. You know, I just think that, yeah, of course, there's a way for me, I think, if that's how it would have happened. But again, I'm not saying that that's actually what happened either. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Of
course,
that's on my mind.
Now, I'm hearing that the sheets of glass that was in that room, they weigh like 800 pounds. Now, I'm having a trouble believing that a 64-year-old man could bust out this type of glass with a hammer. I mean, for real? He broke that glass with a hammer?
But who said he broke it with a hammer?
That's what the mainstream news reported, that he broke it out with a hammer. A 64-year-old man broke some 800-pound glass that I'm sure had to be super strong. I mean, we're talking about the Mandalay Bay, glass up on the 32nd floor. I'm sure they ain't putting just a cheap sheet of glass, thin pane of glass in these windows. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it was some real deal, thick type glass. So, but this 64-year-old man busted out two windows with a hammer. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, why don't think
they
report it out?
Yeah.
Why don't think he just shot? Why they don't think he just didn't shoot the window?
I don't know.
I guess if he had shot the window, the whole window would have broke though, huh? I guess he had to make the hole. Is that what they think happened?
I'm assuming that's what they say.
He created the hole.
I'm under the impression that they'll tell us anything. That's how I feel.
You know,
this is true. The media been hijacked. Yeah. The media, like. Go ahead, Mufasa.
I was just saying, we eat up everything that they tell us. You know, but.
Yeah.
It just seems odd to me that this man, first off, will snap and pull off something like that, knowing he living comfortable. He up, you know, and then. Retired from his job, he in a stressful type of environment, you know, and nobody
he gambled
said,
every day for fun.
All these years. Then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, I'm a plan a mass shooting.
right.
You know, and then when he planned, he's setting up cameras so he can see when the police officers come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
That's what.
Put cameras in the hallway so he could see if the police was coming up on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then they tell me he had 16 guns in the hotel room.
Right.
Explosive stuff in his car, tannerite. I mean, this man out of nowhere decided he just basically turned into a one man army.
Right.
I don't get it. That's why I say it don't make no sense to me. I feel like this is some type of plot, either A, to kick off the whole gun talk about getting rid of automatic weapons, or B, these little things like this occur sporadically and to get people thinking that they're gonna take their weapons. So the first thing people start doing, because they get paranoid, is they go out and start buying up guns and ammunition. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember it was in 94. No, I'm sorry. In 94, it was a ban on assault weapons. that that Clinton had put in place, and that lasted for 10 years and expired in 2004 under Bush one. So yeah, they had already had a ban, so they could be going for the ban on the assault weapons again. You know, but because I feel like as far as assault weapons, like really, do we really need assault weapons on the streets? You know what I'm saying? Like those are actual instruments of like war for real. You know what I'm saying? Even though we know, you know, we may be headed down that track in this country, unfortunately, but you know, assault weapons are really just destructive in my opinion. Like they're not even hunting rifle. Like you can't even say you're going to hunt with an assault rifle. No, you just going to that's just for killing folks. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you know, do we really need assault weapons?
For a lot of us, because you know, I'm big into guns. I like guns myself, and a lot of people believe or feel that, yeah, you need them because in the situation where anarchy was to kick off. Hey, them assault rifles will come in handy if you got them. You rather it's best to have than to have not. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
that's
right.
How I get it. You don't know what to kick off in this country, martial law, any type of thing. So people just feel more comfortable when they have they stockpile automatic weapons. Then some people just like them. You know what I'm saying? It's like people, men with toys.
Right. But see, that's a crazy mentality for me to understand that you just like weapons that are basically meant to kill people. You know what I'm saying? Like I understand, and I got some friends that are gun enthusiasts and all that. But I understand you having something, of course, to protect yourself. You know, that's the right. But just to be like, I like assault weapons, like that's just a different mentality for me to wrap my mind around. Because basically, like I say, I mean, guns are just for killing. Like, there's nothing else. You basically just trying to be destructive and be a killer, which brings me to my other point. I think the mass shootings in America speak to another situation as far as how we think in America, our pathology, and how we think and how people think as Americans, because our country, we got the number one, of course, we got the number one murders in the world for, you know, an industrialized country. Like, we have more murders than any other country in the world, and we're supposed to be, quote, unquote, civilized. But, yeah, we kill each other at alarming rates. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's scary the way Americans kill each other. You know, so I think it really speaks to how Americans think, because, you know, we live in a Greco-Roman death culture, basically. You know, we still under that old Western Roman, rule or whatever. So we live in a death culture. It's in our music. It's in our movies. It's in everything we do. That, you know, we get numb to death. We get numb to seeing people killed. We go out for the, you know, the car crashes and the train wrecks and just death. Like, this is what we do in this country, is worship a lot of death. And it's unfortunate because we don't see it, because it's like a fish in a fish tank. We've been living in it so long, we don't even notice that it's anything abnormal. You know what I mean? But if you look at other countries, their murder rate is not nearly as high as ours are. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, it just speaks to where we're at as a country, and we're supposed to be so civilized and, you know, police the world, but we have a major problem in this country with gun violence. You know what I mean? Because if you look at the, you know, the mass shootings that didn't happen, it's like it's one or two or three per year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they had the Pulse nightclub in Orlando last year. I think it was like 57 or, you know, more than 50-some people killed in that. You know, you had Sandy Hook. Columbine, the Fort Hood shooting. Like, it's just been a lot of mass shootings. San Bernardino, the shooting that happened in San Bernardino. So it's just a lot that's been going on. I think America really needs to check itself and the type of, you know, the type of society we've created. Because it's really, like I said, it's really just a death culture at this point. You know, we pretty much numb to it because, you know, by next week or probably this week, I don't be watching news, but I'm sure they probably didn't die down on the story. They done moved on to something else, I'm sure. You know, so this would be talked about for a few weeks, and then, hey, it's on to the next. Until the next mass shooting happened, then everybody going to be down for a few days and talking about gun control, which that's not going to happen. You know,
hey,
what I mean? They're not going to take the gun.
The one thing that's in common with all these shootings, the one thing that I see is it gets the people paranoid. That they gonna lose their gun,
yeah.
And what they start doing, they go buying them,
buying up the
ammo, and that's why I'm like, man, I be thinking this is some type of plot to kick off people to buying this stuff, get up the gun sales. That's more money that you're paying, like I say, taxes and everything, and they go to the government. So I'm thinking it's more to it than. To these mass shootings than we thinking. You know what I'm saying? But dealing with this but this particular situation here, I don't see this man clicking and snapping like that. That makes no sense.
A lot of snapping.
Yeah, this don't shock. Hey, this might shock you, Brother K. Did you know there was I was watching some of them videos. Did you know it was a nice little handful of black people at the country music show?
Yeah, I seen that. I think one of the brothers actually may have got killed. I seen one brother, they say he saved like 30 people, you know, so, yeah, I mean,
that's a lot of black people that
like country, yeah, I mean, we created country music. Country music ain't nothing but a mix of blues and folk and all that stuff, so any genre of music, we have a right, you know, to like it and be there, like, because it created from black people, rock and roll, country, blues, jazz, you know, whatever. So it doesn't, you know, necessarily surprise me that we was there, you know what I mean, or that black people was there.
Now, see, this is,
you know,
and I hate to, I got to say this. This is jumping the gun a little bit because we said we was going to have a conversation about this down the road. But I thought about something. When we talk about the black people at that show, is you that shows that, you know, white people, you know, nobody was attacking them black people at that show. They was having them a good old time, you know what I'm saying? So when it comes down to a white supremacist system, it looked like white people and black people can get pitted against each other because of a white supremacist system. I think naturally.
Correct. That's what the system do, yeah. I agree.
So, you know, we're going to talk about that later on, too, about can white people be victims to a white supremacist system.
Indeed. But, it was black people at the concert, so that's not surprising. However, we do know at this point in time, like, the majority of country listeners are you know, are white folks or white people. So I just found that interesting that he would go in and, you know, choose to target a country music concert. So I just found that pretty interesting because it's my belief that, you know, under the system, especially everything in America is based on race. Like there's a race undertone or some type of linked to racism in everything in American culture, you know. So for him to target a country music concert, I thought that was pretty interesting. So, you know.
So what y'all think about the people, the people that was there, and how a lot of people were coming together to give victims, you know, give victims to help instead of just running off leaving folks. I thought that was kind of, that was impressive to see people come together. Like they was making makeshift beds out of the guardrails and stuff like that. You know,
right,
you saw
right,
people.
Right. Yeah, I think, yeah, that was, I mean, that was, you know, what you supposed to do. I mean, like in a crisis situation, most of the time you're just going to react and, you know, make sure you stay first and then try to help as many people as you can. You know, that's just what I think. So I think, yeah, that's, you know, that's the humane thing to do in a situation like that, you know, in a crisis, because you don't really have time to be really thinking about who's who and what's what. So you just trying to, you know, make sure you stay first and then try to help as, you know, help as many people as you can. So, yeah, I still think, yeah, you know, that's a good thing. You know, but yeah, I still say, you know, even though, you know, make no mistake, like, they probably, you know, like I say, you say it was black people at the concert and everything was all good. I mean, we know how certain situations are when it's, you know, when black people are outnumbered. You know what I mean? A lot of times it ain't all gravy, you know. But, you know, we, that's neither here nor there because we don't know what was going on. But, you know, I still do like to point that out, that a lot of times it don't be all gravy. But luckily, you know, in a tragic event, people are going to come together in a crisis and try to help each other, you would think.
Yeah, so you yourself, so if a gun bang came down, it wouldn't bother you yourself, huh? Would it bother you, Luggage, if they put a gun bang down, or it don't make no difference to you? They ban, you know, assault rifles. What about they just ban together? How y'all feel about that?
Well, I think that if they do that, my only concern is that about the people that's not going to follow rules, and they're still gonna have one stashed in the house somewhere. And then it makes the fight uneven. So in the, under those situations, it's like, you know, I want one too then, cause just in case it goes down, you know, in the event I need it, you know. But I'm on the fence. Currently, you know, I'm not in any gun battles, you know, so I'm not right now currently affected, but I realize how life works, you know, too. And it could be a time, and I pray not, but it could be a time where I might need one, you know. And if that's the case, and if I feel like I need one or know that I need one, I want to be able to get one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel the same way, Kay?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, because the thing is, criminals are going to get guns. Like, this is why they call criminals, because they don't follow the law. So by the government, you know, banning assault weapons, they're still going to be on the streets, as we've seen, you know, when it was banned during for 10 years, during 94 to 2004. People still had assault weapons. You know what I mean? They still was on the streets. They were just illegal. So, you know, just saying that they're illegal is not going to necessarily get them off the street.
This is going to stop it, exactly.
Yeah, so, it wouldn't affect me one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? Is what it is.
Yeah, I got to have my gun. I don't believe bang. I don't believe gun control will stop none of these masks. All it'll do is turn to something else. It's like when you have people blowing up stuff. You know, they don't never blame the bomb or the explosive and say we gotta ban explosive materials. It's only when these shootings happen that they say, oh, take away the gun. But it's other ways to kill people. And you know, if you just got
this
the gun. The gun, it ain't the gun that's doing it, it's the people that's doing it. I don't believe we need to get rid of, have no type of gun ban. You know what I'm saying? I think people just need to be more, you know, in control of their feelings and trained up with how to use weapons. Be more,
when to use weapons.
Be more aware.
Right, right. When I mean, because the thing is, like, they know how to use them. Yeah, like the gun is the great equalizer. Like I think Dr. Francis Cress Wilson said, the gun is a great equalizer, meaning, yeah, the gun don't kill people. The gun makes it easy for people to kill other people. You dig what I'm saying? Like, it just takes a snap of a finger to kill somebody with a gun, as opposed to if you got to make a bomb and put it together and, you know, do all this, you may think twice in the process. But if you got a gun, that split second, boom, you pull the trigger, it's a wrap. And then you sit back, oh, I shouldn't have did that, I shouldn't have did this. So the gun makes it easier for people to kill people. So it's not necessarily the gun, but it's the ability to do it in a split second. You know what I'm saying? And the way minds work and people think, you can be mad one minute and want to kill somebody the next minute, you love them. You know what I'm saying? So the gun in that situation can make people do a lot of stupid and irrational things, as we see happening every day. But
let me ask you guys this too, and then we'll try to take another caller. But so, if you guys are having trouble believing that the young man could have snapped, and you just said, how old was he? 64.
Yeah.
Okay, so why, if it wasn't that he snapped or something went wrong with his mind to make him go left like that or do something drastic, why didn't he do it before? Why take him 64 years to do it then? It seemed like something happened to take him over to that level in his life.
That's why I don't believe he did it.
Right.
I don't believe he did it. I believe he just a scapegoat. That's why I say it don't make no sense that a 64-year-old man had everything going for himself. And like you say, when 64 years, no signs of trouble, no blowing up on people, no type of signs of aggression.
Well, nothing actually documented. We don't know for certain. It's been signs. It was just nothing that was actually documented. Because he could have had signs, but people could have just overlooked it, you know. Let's see if, let's take one caller again, and then we can kind of pick back up. We have a caller, private caller, 111. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Greetings. How are you guys doing today?
Greetings.
Hey,
doing well.
How are you?
Peace and blessings.
Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing just fine. I have two comments, actually. My first comment is regarding the situation in Las Vegas. And like the gentleman, the brother just mentioned that he wasn't buying it. Now, I've looked at several videos and footage of this incident, and what I have a problem with, I'm not going to say that it's a hoax and that it wasn't based in reality because those people were actually there. But my dad collected guns and was a military man. And I'm wondering if any of you all have ever seen a gunshot wound, because it is the most horrific thing, seeing it. Seeing the damage that a bullet can do. Now, having said that, I'm mindful of the type of weapon that they said allegedly was used. Those are the type of bullets that have the power to tear through a bulletproof vest. That's the type of ammunition that can put a dent in a tank, chip a brick off of a building. Yet I saw no one with bullet wounds. I saw no blood. When you see a gunshot wound, when you experience that, it's almost, not for everybody, but most people, it's like you're in shock. It's difficult to move past it because your mind is doing so much thinking. Now, I'm wondering how somebody can let off that much ammunition, military weaponry, and we right. not see blood. So I'm not saying that it's not real, but I didn't see any blood. Even the people when they were in the hospital, they were flipping around.
I'll tell you, Carl, I did. I watched several videos, and me, myself, I did see wounds. I saw one man in particular that they was bringing him through, and he had been shot. He thought he had just been shot in his arm. And like you say, he was hit with the way the bullet went through. It went through his forearm, and as it came out, it just tore all the meat out the backside of his forearm. And so they had already treated him a little bit inside the concert area, but he was coming out. He was bleeding so bad down his arm that people on the outside was trying to help him. So they laid him back. That's what I saw, like I said, with my own eyes. And they was checking him over, and when they looked at it, put up his shirt, and he was like, they was like, oh, you got another shot in your side. And the look on his face, he was like, oh my God, you know, looking, he just, you could see in his face, he thought he was going to die. He thought he was dead. But I saw several people, so I'm going to check. Go back, if you can, go to YouTube and just look at more of the footage. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to tell you this. That, now, I remember when the footage first aired. That came later. See, I'm watching carefully. That came later. And the reason I'm saying that we need to be mindful of how that came later, the public needs to understand how the mainstream media relies on the public's energy. So when they
right.
check social media and they see that people are saying, well, this didn't happen, this is not conducive to that, then footage is adjusted. I hate to put it out there. I hate to mm-hmm. make it seem like a conspiracy, but we had better wake up to what our actual reality is. And my last comment, I want to say this quickly. So I'm listening to the show, and you all were talking about gun ownership and how so many of these instances, these situations with lone wolf shooters are an attempt or probably constructed to take away the gun rights. I want to say this. I've been feeling this, and I have not been able to say it. I feel like here in America, the one person that is seen as a soft target by criminals, serial killers, organ thieves alike, is the black woman. You only have to be 18 to get a certified and be trained to have a weapon and have a permit. I feel like the black woman needs to know that she is responsible for her own protection. Even if you have a husband or a man, I don't care about that. You are still responsible for your own protection. And most criminals know that most black women are not strapped. So I want to know what you all think about that, because if criminals know that black women are strapped, I think we'll have a lot of this, less of this Kanika Jenkins situation. She was 19. Had she had her little 38 snug nose, she might still be alive right now. I want to know what you all think about that.
Oh, wow, that's an interesting viewpoint. And from a woman's point of view, Carla, thanks for calling, too. Continue listening. And but, you know, she made some interesting points. Now, from a female point of view, I do agree that more of us, you know, especially if we want to choose to go down this road where we want to try to collectively come together and build armies and nations and things like that for ourselves, absolutely, that should be one of the top priorities for our women, like she said, children. Everybody needs to have this combat training. I totally agree with that. Let's take a caller real fast, but I think she made some good points with that. Well, let's call caller 314-381. Caller, are you there?
You know, I don't believe in these people saying these things don't happen, but they do happen. And unfortunately, it's not the gun's fault. I'm a collector of guns, an applicant for a federal firearms license where I can sell guns and ammunition. and we do background check on individuals who come in to buy guns. If you order a gun and you need to be cleared by a dealer, a firearms licensed firearms dealer, well, we can do that. And the information come back on you if it's after a certain amount of time. If it's clear, you can buy as many guns as you want. And I'm for people having what they need. You know, there are several cities in the United States where if you live in that city, it's on the law, it's on the books that you got to have a weapon in your house. There's Virgin in Utah, Nelson, Georgia, and I don't know if Nelson, Georgia's already withdrew or not. Gun Barrel City, Texas, Nuda, Colorado, and Kennesaw, Georgia, which is about 75, 100 miles outside of Atlanta. And those cities, it's mandatory that you have weapons. Switzerland is mandatory that you have weapons. And I like the gentleman. I think that now you're seeing these gun advocates like John Lewis of Georgia, who I think need to retire, but I don't live in his district. He's forever making these assertions that there needs to be stronger gun. Well, John, why don't you do it in your state? Leave my state alone. Missouri, you don't need a license to conceal carry. If you got a concealed license to conceal carry, you can open carry with that license. And we have black males here who open carry with their AR-15s or whatever they choose to have in the midst of protests and even Donald Trump rallies. So I don't see anything wrong with that. But I surely want to get to the point where you have these individuals. I'm glad as hell Hillary Clinton's not in the White House right about now. But you have these politicians that come up with these crazy ideas that they need to curtail and put more regulations than what they have now, as if it's the guns. Something's wrong with the people that's doing this.
Let me ask you, not to cut you off, sorry, but I did want to ask you something real quick. With this particular situation that happened, do you believe that it went down exactly like the media is portraying it to us? Do you believe this 54-year-old man planned and plotted all that out like that and carried this out himself?
Well, you know, I've been to gun shows and I've taken weapons into my room in a bag because it's safer than leaving them in your car where it can be broken into. You know, if you want to carry 30 or 40 rifles, you put them in a bag, just like a sports bag, a baseball bat bag. You put them on a cart and roll them on in. Nobody pay no attention to that. But, you know, some people out here are stupid. You got stupid people in the police department. We talk about that all the time. You got stupid folks at home that either do damage to themselves, which I say let them do it, or attempt to do damage to other people. So it's just a matter of perspective.
At his age and by him being, you know, maybe I'm just being naive with that, but a man that was apparently well off, you know, we're living a retired life, that decided to just sit down and plot out murdering a bunch of people. Like they're saying, they're not even finding a motive.
He might have had a health issue. He might have been told that he's got some disease. You don't know. I had a friend that found out he had prostate cancer and he killed himself. His father had. I guess he didn't want to go through the things that his dad went through. And by the way, I have gun safe. I put a camera outside my gun safe. And looking at the video on the camera, I don't have any guns jumping out the safe, sneaking out the window when everything's quiet in the house, according to the video on the camera. So to say that guns do these things, that's totally ignorant. It's individuals that do these things.
That's definitely not the gun.
And you know another thing, there's a lot of black gun clubs that you probably don't know. African American Gun Club Organization, and there's a lot of affiliate clubs. When I go to the range, man, there'd be a whole lot of black women at the range shooting, more so than men.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that back up because I want to touch on what the lady said.
And you know another thing too, you got high schools that have gun clubs. There's one in Atlanta at North High School. They got a gun club in that high school as we speak. When I was young, we used to carry our 22 on our shoulder on a strap and take it to school because we had practice after school. Walk down the street with our little 22 rifle. And another point, too, I hear people labeling semi-automatic rifles and calling them assault rifles. And that is totally ridiculous. And it's totally misleading also. AR-15, the A in the AR-15 does not mean assault. By the way, there's an African-American brother that's manufacturing AR-15 in Illinois. And it's a very good piece of machinery. So, you know, people are doing what they have to do.
Thanks so much for calling in, caller. We totally appreciate you for calling in. Yeah, he made some interesting points, too. Mufasa, you were going to touch base about the last caller, the young lady.
I agree with what she's saying, that definitely more women should get involved and learn about gun safety and get involved. And just like the caller was just on was saying, that's true. You do have different clubs that are forming. You might have to look for them, but there are different clubs that are forming and coming together to train people in the black community on how to shoot. You know, we're not just out in the cold on guns. You know, we like guns too. So, yeah, we all need to be trained up and, you know,
even the children.
Yeah, exactly.
Even our children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as they're educated and taught properly, you know, learn self-discipline, you know, different techniques like that as far as, you know, helping with patience and just mental exercises and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, that comes along with the process.
Yeah, the other thing, too, I wanted to engage with her more on that whole video thing. She was saying that she didn't see a lot of blood. Now, the night when it happened, me, myself, I did see people with gunshots. I actually saw a couple of people that actually got hit with bullets right there, you know, live. Not live, but I mean right after it happened, people who was recording it. So I saw it that night myself, so maybe she just didn't see all the footage, but I'm sure she's coming from some of that stuff, some of the more graphic pictures they were trying to not, you know, air out or put out. But I definitely saw people coming out.
You
want to
get her back on? I said, you want to try to get her back on?
Oh, no, I was just saying that I did see pictures of people getting shot, so maybe it's just she hadn't ran across the same videos that I had ran across.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think she was saying that she had saw that after the fact of, you know, after people saying, well, we ain't seen this or we don't see this. And she was saying maybe the media may have caught wind of that, you know, then they put the footage out. I think that's what she was saying. I don't want to.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. Because she said she'd been watching carefully. So she said that image that, I don't know if it was the same image, but she did say she noticed the images coming out afterwards. Those weren't the first images presented.
Yeah, they had to dig. The mainstream media, you know, they end up digging through YouTube just like we were. I know when it happened tonight.
Right.
I was across YouTube looking for them myself. So at that time, I would probably imagine that the mainstream media was more so trying to report the stuff at the time and get their own footage and hadn't had time to sit down and start deciphering through all the different YouTube footage. So that's why I started coming out down the road or later on. But me, myself, that night when it happened, I was on YouTube constantly looking for the footage of what went on, because I know you would get more information that way, because I don't trust the mainstream. I don't trust the way they report the news.
So I always look for on-the-ground accounts of what's happening from regular Joes. So that's why I was browsing through YouTube more so than looking on or watching on TV. And so, like I said, I was seeing people getting hit with bullets from just browsing across different YouTube footages that same night, you know what I'm saying?
And like what Brother Kevin had brought up, too, I definitely found it very interesting how prior to the shooting, the young lady who they trying to blow off is just being drunk. Ran through the crowd saying that you're all going to die, you're all going to die. I think they were saying they was putting her out because she was drunk and had done something, I think. And they was putting her out.
Right.
So they just, you know, that was just a coincidence. She was just mad and drunk and she just saying without, you know, like it wasn't tied to anything, you know. But that was that's interesting.
Right, right. I think another component, since we're talking about the media, we got to understand that the media is the fourth branch of government. You dig what I'm saying? Because when you're a government and you got self-established, you have to control the information that goes out to the people. You dig what I'm saying? Like, it's social engineering. You have to control the information that gets to the people in order to maintain society and to social engineer people's thinking into what you want them to believe. You know what I'm saying? So in America, like, it's pretty much a known fact at this point that the government is heavy involved in the media. Because if you look at it, all the media channels, ABC, Fox, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, they all report the same news. You dig what I'm saying? They all get the news from the AP, which is the Associated Press, or they get it from Reuters, which is these Newsline or these, you know, these news sites that report the news. So it's all encompassing because the government has to control the information that goes to the people. So anything outside of that narrative is going to be considered, quote unquote, conspiracy talk or, you know, fake news or whatever, whatever, because the mainstream has to, you know, control the narrative. And I don't think we in America realize that, you know, they say we got free press and all that, but as far as the mainstream media, that's all government controlled. Like, there's really no way other to put it. So anything you see on the mainstream news typically has an agenda to it. You know, a lot of times it's to keep people in fear and all this other type stuff. This is why, you know, the gun sales went up and people were scrambling to get more guns after this shooting, because this is, you know, part of what the media does and part of the society that we live in. It's good to keep the people distracted and in fear. That way you can be doing whatever to the right. You know what I'm saying? If you got people looking left, you can be doing whatever you want to do on the right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we just got to be mindful of
if these types of acts are going to take place, whether it's orchestrated or just actually really random, the people have a legitimate concern to actually have guns, you know, for protection, because
right.
These incidents are occurring.
Yeah, exactly.
So, do y'all think that, because I saw when the shooting was happening, I saw people, like I said, from watching YouTube, people was actually running to their cars and trying to get their own weapons that they had in their ride. Do y'all think that if that the guy who was shooting would have been down on the ground or more easily accessible, that someone in the crowd or people may have got to him? Supposedly, by him supposedly alone being so high, I got to throw that out there, people was looking, but they didn't even know where the shots was coming from. Then when they finally did realize coming from up high, they was like, man, but nothing that they could do. So I'm thinking that if he would have been down on the ground, all them people there, somebody would have got to their gun and probably could have took him out, you know what I'm saying, and prevented more people from getting murdered. So that's why I don't believe in getting rid of guns. I'm for guns, and
I think we on the same page in that. We need guns. We need gun training. You know, at this point, I think, yes, we do need guns. But my thing is, like I always ask, if nobody had a gun, you know, would you still want a gun? Like, what would you need a gun for?
I would.
You just what?
I just wouldn't tell anybody I got it.
Right, but what would you want a gun for, though?
Just in case.
In case what? If don't nobody have a gun?
In case 35 people mob my house trying to attack me. I got food and water. People in my neighborhood find out I got food and water. They're trying to overtake my house. I can't fight them off with a stick. You know what I'm saying? But if I got that old gun head, I got that old AR head with that 100-round drum, I can defend myself. So.
Right, right.
I want it just in case.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that. I just looked up a real quick stat real quick. They say for every 100 people, this is according to the Guardian magazine, but they say for every 100 Americans, 88 have guns. So just imagine that. And there's over 250 million Americans in the country. So, you know, do the math on that. That's a lot of freaking guns. They say it's like three or four guns to every American. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, basically, you know, Americans really a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. It just needs some event to jump off and everybody go get gun crazy, grab their guns, run to the streets, and kill each other. Like, this is what it's going to come to. It's going to be some event that's going to trigger people to go out in these streets and arm up against each other, which, you know, I think that's what the elites want, you know what I mean, in my opinion. This is why we have such loose gun laws in America. When they talk about the Second Amendment right, man, they was talking about muskets. You dig what I'm saying? They wasn't talking about assault rifles or assault weapons or, you know, automatic weapons or semi-automatic. They was talking about muskets that you got to load up and put gunpowder in.
Yeah, but everybody,
you know, I just think it's a dangerous situation. What's that?
But everybody had muskets at that time. Everybody in advance passed the musket. So
right. That is true. But yeah, you know, we just in a dangerous time. And you know, everything is everything, so, you know, what's going to happen, go happen, and we shall see. But I don't think Americans are really taking heed and learning the lessons from these mass shootings.
Has this affected how y'all feel about how y'all carry yourself out in public? You know, when it comes to going to hotels or going to concerts, just going to the grocery store. Now, this type of thing, this event in particular, affected how y'all feel about how you carry yourself out in public?
Yeah, that's a great question. And my answer is yes. And, you know, I've never been a fan of real large crowds, but I'm definitely more diligent when I'm out with crowds, when I'm out with my family and my kids. I'm definitely always on alert and not really like paranoia or nothing, but, you know, I just try to feel the energy of where I'm at and try to, you know, look around and peep the scene. Like, my wife tells me all the time, she's like, you nosy, you always looking and this and that. I'm like, look, I'm observing the scene and trying to peep the energy before something jumps off. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that you can prevent everything, but you do have to be diligent and look around and, you know, just peep your surroundings. So I'm definitely a little more cautious about being in large groups myself.
Yeah, I've always been just watchful, period. Even from a kid, I've always paid attention to people and my surroundings and energy. As Brother Kevin said, I've always paid attention to those things. So just throughout life, incidents that occur. It just all the only thing it does for me is just reinforces the reason that I'm like
right.
that, and just to keep doing it. You know, just keep paying
right.
attention. Don't lose my guard, because you know you can't get off your going. You know, you just never know what will happen, what's going to happen. You just have to pay attention. I think one way to do that is to be, you know, be watchful. You got to pay attention. You got to be focused, and, you know, but still, of course, be involved, but you still have to know how to separate yourself from the environment in a sense, and pay attention, still involved.
Right, exactly.
In
yep, that's a fact.
Yeah, I know, I ain't never, well, I won't say never, but with this type of stuff to go on, I don't like going in big crowds of people anymore, and I'm really cautious about my surroundings. Because like you said, in this world, you don't know when something's going to kick on. You can't let your guard down no matter where you at. I mean, like I say, these people outside at a country music concert, I'm sure none of them thought that nothing like that would happen. You know what
I'm
saying? But that could have been the same thing at a grocery store or at the department store, anywhere.
How about when it happened at school? You know,
right, at school too, most definitely.
So I'm just thinking it's something that we got to deal with.
How about when it happened at church?
Those types of places. It's all God's will. Oh man, maybe I shouldn't have said that right now.
Well, I mean, everything that happened is, you know, it was meant to happen from where I stand. Like, you know, things happen for a reason, and, you know, everything is everything. So,
yeah,
but I think, I mean, I don't see
that.
Why, yeah, like, I don't, like, I really don't think we should be that surprised, considering, again, how many guns are on the streets, considering how we love violence. Considering how we numb to death, how it's over, 10,000 homicides per year in America. Like, we really shouldn't be that surprised. I mean, it's shocking, but if we look at our culture and what we enjoy and the things that we watch, the nightly news that we watch, all these things, it's just a matter of time before this stuff implodes on us. In the form of violence, like it's only a matter of time. And trust, this is not going to be the last one. And I also do want to clear up. Also, they said that this was the largest mass shooting in American history. Again, the media supports white supremacist lies. We do know that in 1917, which this year was the 100th anniversary of the East St. Louis white terrorist attack, where over 100 people, black men, women, and children, were killed and terrorized in East St. Louis. This was in 1917. You know, we also got Rosewood. We got Black Wall Street. We got Wilmington. All these towns where black bodies were killed. Over 50 people, you know what I mean, documented, over 50 people in these incidents were killed. But yet the media doesn't report it because it's black life. And we know, there's really not a lot of value on black life at this point. So we can clear up that misconception. This was not the largest mass shooting in U.S. history. We can go back again to the East St. Louis white terrorist attack. So, just to put that out there. But, it's no surprise considering where we live, so. And we got about 10 minutes to the live stream for the family.
I'm definitely not surprised. You know, not at all, and I do agree. You know that as long as we're here on this earth is existing, it's gonna happen again. You know, I think right now we on a spiral, and we most of the stuff we probably just living off our karma at this point, you know, and we just everything is just happening. we're just going to pull it into our karma.
No, I'm still gonna say I don't believe that man did that alone, and I'm gonna always question everything I hear on the news.
As you should.
It just don't make no sense to me that this man pulled that off by himself.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It just don't make sense to me at all. But hey, there's a lot of things in this world that don't make sense, but I don't believe he did that by himself. I think he either had help or it was, you know, he was a scapegoat.
Yeah,
somebody else
yeah.
used his identity. Set him up as the shooter.
Right, as the patsy. Yeah. Manchurian candidate. Yeah, that could definitely be it. So I don't rule nothing out. I really, you know, don't know. Because they were saying, like, it was even reports of a security guard being shot in this hotel, either on the same floor or on a different floor. You know, like, it was just a lot of reports going on that night. People heard shots at other hotels, and it was one real good video. I don't know if y'all seen it, but it was of a cab driver, and she was actually at the bottom of the Mandalay Bay, and, you know, she was driving around, and you can hear the shots, and people just standing around like it was normal. But then she heard some, like, the shots that, if you look at the video, she heard some shots from one area. Then it sounded like they was coming from another area. Then it sounded like another. It was just kind of weird as far as the, you know, where the shots was coming from. Like, they was sound like they was just coming from a lot of different places, you know. But
yeah,
it's kind of hard to say, man.
Fireworks.
Yeah,
some people
thought it was fireworks, yeah.
Because they're always shooting off fireworks in Vegas
exactly.
Anyway. So some people thought it was just fireworks. I was tripping off. It was a man and a lady was talking to her. I'm assuming it was her guy, and she was telling him to get down. And he was like, "That's not real." And she's like, "No, that's real. You need to get down." And he was like, "That's not real. That don't sound like gunshots." She was like, "When it sound like it ain't real, it's real. So get down." And he still wasn't getting down. So all of a sudden, a couple of bullets hit close to them. And then she was telling him right before it happened that look. They trying to do CPR to a lady right there. Get down. So you had some people that was hearing it but didn't even realize them was real gunshots going on.
Wow. Yeah, man. But I think at this point, because, like, our gun law has been so loose up to this point, I just think we've gone too far down a rabbit hole to turn back. You know what I mean? So I don't think the gun laws or restricting guns and all that would be wise, because I just think we too far down a rabbit hole. Like, there's too many people that have guns in this country. So if you take guns away from, you know, quote unquote law abiding citizens, the criminals still gonna have guns. So I think at this point, you know, the gun control debate is really, it should be null and void, because what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? We too far down. Exactly. How you go collect the guns that's out here. Yeah, so it's just too much, and we too far down. We should have thought about this a long time ago before we started manufacturing all these guns and getting them out to folks. Then we would have had, you know, we could have maybe took some preventative measures. But I think at this point it's basically too late. So, you know, like everybody said, we just need to tool up, you know, protect yourself, exercise that right to have a gun, and, you know, protect yourself and your family, you know, at this point, because, you know, they walking us towards something, trust and believe. They are walking the American people towards something, and it's probably not going to be healthy for us, so. You know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, that's why. Well, we just have to sit back and wait on the next incident to happen. Hopefully, it don't be another one like this. But I'm
right.
Kind of agreeing with you, Kev. It's only a matter of time before something else happens.
Right.
It's
unavoidable. Because, I mean, if you notice though, the gun control debate after this really kind of, it was really for like a second, and then they kind of stopped like a day or two, and then you didn't hear nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, I remember during the Sandy Hook shooting, when the young man, they say he went up in Sandy Hook in elementary school, like the gun control debate was heavy, you know, for like a week or two. But this one kind of seems like, you know, ain't nobody really tripping. Like, they just, you know, like, yeah, it happened, but we not really talking about no gun control. And that could be the administration, because I know Trump is a big NRA supporter, or the NRA supports him, so he definitely not, you know, not going for no guns or whatever. That's just not even in his agenda.
Just
so that could be part of it.
Right.
Yeah, we used to it. Right.
Getting used to it, so people ain't tripping over it as whole.
Right, right. And this won't even be on the radar next week. It'll be something else, and, you know, we'll move on into the next mass shooting and, you know, go from there. But, yeah, we pretty much numb to it, so, and it's unfortunate, you know. So we got about 4 minutes left to the live stream, y'all.
So, love to say, when you ready to go out and get your assault rifle? Not the one you want to get.
Have I seen the one? No.
Yeah, you across the assault rifle you might want to get.
No, I don't know.
You ain't ready to get one and get out there and get trained up?
I mean, I want something that's powerful, that shoots a lot, and I want a really cute one.
So you want a shoulder strap so you can carry it like a purse? You want a shoulder strap on it? You can swing it around your shoulder and get busy.
I think I'll be good at aiming and hitting my target.
Mm-hmm.
If I know how to break
it. What's that?
Brother Kev, might as well go and break it out too. Go and get your AR. Get your AK or something.
No, I don't need no AR. I just need me some, you know, to keep folks up off me and to defend myself. But AR might be too much for me, but I ain't trying to mow down a whole neighborhood, you know. So
we're going to get ready to close thing out, y'all. So in closing, hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for checking us out again. To everybody that called in, we really appreciate y'all, your comments. Keep calling in. Keep staying in tune with us. We come on every Sunday from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. So continue to check us out. Look us up on Facebook, Collective Minds Facebook page. Like, subscribe to it, and continue to tune in and build with us. So y'all want to say one more little song before we shut it down?
Nah, just thank you to the callers and the supporters. Appreciate it. Thank y'all.
All right.
Collective Minds, yep.
Collective Minds, y'all. We'll see y'all again next Sunday, 6 p.m. Say stay tuned. We'll be back next week with another topic, and we'll be looking forward to y'all calling in so we can chop it and build it up.
Exactly. Let's get it. Do they know?
It's my song right there.
Do they understand, right? What it took. Shout out to Gene Anderson for that, baby. I love that. I don't think they know. What it took. Do they know? Hey. Something that means so much to me. It's a game that a penny. So many don't understand how much sacrifice it took so they could have the
chance. Just to work. 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 Just to work.
people that sacrificed their lives.